Risk communication is essential, as the following statement articulates. In the next influenza pandemic, the single most important weapon against the disease will be a vaccine. The second most important weapon will be communication. One of the specific forms of risk communication during an epidemic crisis is called EID communication. This study addresses two issues in EID risk communication. The first is the shift from theoretical planning of risk communication before a potential crisis to actual implementation on the ground during an epidemic. The second is the shift from a general international level of preparedness to local implementation of the guidelines, including the process of adapting them to the specific needs of a particular country. The broader goal of this study was to discern how risk communication guidelines for an EID outbreak were implemented by local governments, in order to examine how the guidelines were channeled locally, we conducted a triangulation study which combined documents analysis and an empirical study. H1N1 was first identified in the USA in 2009. Experts differed regarding the degree of success or failure of health communication campaigns during the outbreak. Such differences underscore the necessity of studies such as ours. Our first study objective was to examine conceptual guidelines which consisted of contingency plans and a communication framework for responding to a potential influenza epidemic. We then examined how these guidelines were carried out in an actual epidemic according to international reports. Our second study objective was to examine how the same guidelines were carried out in a qualitative study according to local stakeholders by conducting interviews in Israel. Our methodology was divided into two parts. The first was a documents analysis. For the documents analysis, we examined two sets of documents. First, 2005 to 2008 WHO and CDC guidelines preparing for a potential epidemic crisis. Second, ex post facto reports of communication strategies during an actual outbreak, namely the 2000 H1N1 epidemic. We examined what these reports said about actual implementation of the guidelines. The second part of our methodology comprised an empirical case study in which we investigated how the guidelines were implemented in Israel. For this, we interviewed 70 stakeholders from a variety of fields. After analyzing the interview transcripts, we compared what the stakeholders reported from their personal experience to the WHO and CDC reports on implementation. The interview questions consisted of semi-structured protocols. We formulated separate protocols for each group. The analysis was carried out in three stages. All three stages pinpointed risk communication teams. In the first stage, the documents analysis, we evaluated the guidelines and how they were implemented according to the reports. The second stage was a content analysis of the interviews we conducted. The third stage compared the results of the documents analysis with the results of the interview analysis. The results are categorized according to 8 communication themes we identified: coordination, trust, empowerment, uncertainty, communicating the vaccine, inclusion of subpopulations and risk groups, segmentation, and two-way communication. For each theme, we present the document's analysis results followed by the results of the empirical study. Coordination between international and local levels. Despite international regulation and guidelines, we found that member states received few specific guidelines on how to fulfill regulation. It appears that communication and coordination between the WHO and CDC and the member states was mainly top-down, from the organizations to the member states. In addition, there was no segmentation between the member states. All received the same guidelines and regulations. The interviews we conducted in Israel also received a gap stemming from the guidelines themselves. Interviewees highlighted a lack of segment guidelines from member states. Trust. According to our findings, WHO and CDC guidelines for the epidemic crisis emphasize that health organizations aim to establish trust with the public and other stakeholders. 2009 CDC reports indicate that communication strategies to establish trust were implemented. Our empirical research also revealed that the WHO and CDC were considered trustworthy sources of information by Israeli policymakers, healthcare workers, and the media. The Israeli policymakers mentioned that each WHO guideline was followed unequivocally. Notably, the interviewees expressed more trust in the WHO and CDC than they did in the Israeli Health Ministry. Empowerment of the public. The guidelines stressed the importance of addressing public fears and concerns during an EID outbreak, and the communication of information must convey empathy. In the reports, we did not find explicit reference to empowerment as a stage goal. The focus was to convey the information to the public quickly, emphasizing communicating information over empowering the public. In our empirical research, this same drawback was expressed by Israeli healthcare workers. While most were familiar with the guidelines regarding whom and how to vaccinate, they stated that they received no guidance on how to discuss the vaccination. Uncertainty. CDC and WHO guidelines stress transparency in EID communication with the public and that this includes conveying uncertainty. In the reports, uncertainty refers to the safety and efficacy of the vaccine itself. Despite this uncertainty, the system responded quickly since communication roads were pre-established between government and member states. From our empirical study, the issue of uncertainty was raised with regard to the vaccine, rather than the pandemic. Some healthcare workers followed the vaccine guidelines without being troubled by uncertainty, and some were ambivalent and unsure. Communicating the vaccine as the only option. We examined the communication process for the prevention of H1N1 and found that it was not directly addressed in the documents. However, we can assume that the vaccine was presented as the only option because there were few references to other options. Along a similar vein, our interviewees expressed that the campaign focused on the vaccine. As one medic said, no alternative was presented. Stakeholder inclusion. We examined the engagement of the stakeholders in communicating information about the disease and the vaccine. The WHO and CDC documents indicate that while most of the communication routes were pre-established, there was little stakeholder inclusion both during the development of those communication routes and after they were established. In the interviews we conducted, healthcare workers presented a similar picture. They stated that there were inclusion processes, but they did not always find them constructive. When asked whether they were consulted regarding communicating the pandemic and the vaccine to the public, many said yes. However, they claimed that they could not determine any impact. Segmentation. Characterizing subgroups within the broader population in order to address their specific needs and concerns. Both the guidelines and the reports stressed the importance of segmentation, but actual segmentation was nevertheless only very general. Although risk groups were mentioned in the reports, we found no specific guidelines on how to tailor content to various groups. In the interviews, it emerged that the content of the campaigns did not reflect segmentation. Furthermore, the channels employed by the Israeli Health Minister to convey information were traditional mass media channels, which scant use of social media. This means that they did not use specific channels for specific groups. Intimidation. The documents reflect a strategy of non-intimidation, stressing transparent reporting to the risk of the risk. Was the media's reporting factual and non-alarmist in the Israeli case? Journalists contended that their coverage of the pandemic was always factual and that they did not use intimidation. However, bloggers and policymakers claim that the journalists' reports were not always factual and were sometimes intimidating. Communication flow. Overall, a one-way flow of communication emerged from both the documents and our empirical study. Alongside the traditional mass media channels, there was extensive use of new and social media, including Facebook and Twitter accounts for the WHO and CDC. However, not all member states employed these media channels on a national level. Conclusion. From our study, it emerges that the guidelines were mostly top-down, with little attention devoted to their implementation in individual member states. The WHO and CDC recommendations were not always based on formative evaluation studies, which undermined their validity, while the guidelines were often perceived as unequivocal on the international level. The Israeli case study revealed that this was not always the case at the local level. Recommendations. Effective communication strategies require segmentation, including risk groups or religion affiliation. Two-way communication is crucial. Conceptual elements such as transparency and uncertainty must be implemented when planning communication strategies. In future health crises, organizations should be more involved in implementing guidelines. Thank you.